Welcome to this episode of The Good Fork with host Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby. We're bringing you interesting conversations, interesting people with a plant-based twist. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I've got a fun guest for you today, Chef Kaimani Chi. He's the chef ambassador for Just. I'm thinking you've probably heard of Just. They're a San Francisco-based company on a mission to build a better food system and happen to be the creators of my current favorite breakfast staple, Just Egg. Now, in his role as chef ambassador, Chef Kaimani travels the world as a spokesperson for Just, and he educates consumers, food industry partners, and students about delicious, healthy, and sustainable food. He has also appeared on several popular cooking competition shows, including MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay, Guy's Grocery Games, say that three times fast, and Cutthroat Kitchen, which he won back in 2016. Chef Chi owns his own restaurant, Uncle Hawaiian Grinds, in my home state of Maryland. So we are talking about a lot in this episode, from being on Food Network to all the dishes you can create with Just Egg and so much more. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of The Good Fork. I am Diana Edelman of Vegans Baby, and I have an incredible guest today. He is the chef ambassador for Just. And if you're not familiar with Just, oh my gosh, you all, they make the most incredible plant-based egg I've ever had in my life. So Chef Kaimani Chi is here today with me. Chef, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
It is absolutely my pleasure, and it's so nice to meet you virtually.
It's nice to meet you virtually as well. So before we even get started on Just and what you do with Just, I want to hear a little bit about how you started as a chef, because your background's pretty cool. Like, you were a television star at some point?
I really had a sort of unique serendipitous journey to becoming a chef. So. And I'll try to give you the quick version, but I grew up in Hawaii, small town on the north shore of Oahu. I'm the oldest of 9 kids.
Wow.
And I come from a very multi-ethnic background. So I'm Hawaiian, Filipino, Samoan, Chinese, and a little bit of English. And so, I grew up in this cultural landscape that was super diverse, but then also that lended itself to growing up in a super cool, food culture, and the culinary landscape in Hawaii has so much outside influence. So I grew up loving food. Being the oldest of 9 kids, you know, I had to get in the kitchen with my grandparents and my aunts and uncles while my parents were at work. So I fell in love with food at a very young age. Now, I didn't see myself becoming a chef, or I didn't see that as my career. I just knew that food was the focal point of our culture. The kitchen was the most popular place in the house. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that food would always be a part of my life in some sort of capacity. Fast forward, I'm in Washington, D.C. In 2004. I moved away from home. I wanted to travel a little bit. And I've worked all kinds of crazy jobs. I've been a flight attendant and a coach, a band instructor, a cruise director, an entertainment. I performed in a Hawaiian Polynesian show in Okinawa for 6 months. So it's been all over the place. But then I settled down in sort of a project management IT job in Washington, D.C. for a large international development organization. Huh. And I found on the side, in the evenings, on the weekends, you know, I was cooking for friends and doing informal dinner parties. And, you know, it really reignited my love for food that I developed as such a young kid. And honestly, 2011, I'm sitting on my couch, turn on the TV, and I see this show called MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
I completely got enveloped by the show and enamored by the whole concept, that what I would do is I would, whatever the challenge they had, the next day I would buy all the stuff and try to do what everybody else did and try to do whatever they did in the mystery box, and I would cook alongside the show and then do a little bit of research on my own research on the side, what went wrong, why is my souffle keep falling, why is this crust not the way I want it, and then, you know, that was sort of the impetus for me to look at really the more technical forms of cooking. Growing up in Hawaii, you know, where we are, you put your oven at 350 and you put everything in the oven at 350. Well, that's not really the case, but you know, we're just following, right? We follow instructions yeah. from our parents and then that's what we end up doing. Long story short, I auditioned for my first show. I invited my friends, cooked them a whole bunch of food, let them score it. And then that was my signature dish that I cooked for my audition with about 10,000 people in DC in 2011 on a cold November day. I wore my brightest Hawaiian shirt and I took along my ukulele with me and just tried to stand out. And it was a 5-month process, but I did get on season 3 of MasterChef.
Wow.
And that sort of was the start in 2012 of my culinary journey. I didn't make it very far in MasterChef, but I came back to DC, opened a very small catering business called Kaimana's Catering, and then got a job, a part-time job in the evenings, teaching at a recreation cooking school. So they didn't have anybody doing Hawaiian food or Asian-influenced cooking lessons. So I was teaching dumplings and sushi classes, which really opened up my clientele base. A year later, I got on my first Food Network show, which was Guy's Grocery Games. Uh-huh. It was an amazing experience. I wrote a song for the show. Guy let me play it on TV. And you can imagine that opened up more of a client base.
Sure.
The following year, I made it on Cutthroat. Yeah. The following year, I made it on Cutthroat Kitchen. And that's where I got connected to Just. The one of the other chefs that I competed against was already connected to the head R&D chef at Just, and they thought that it would be strategic for Just to start a culinary concierge program mm-hmm. where they would have chefs going out and doing sort of user adoption and showing what you can do with Just Mayo and other products that we had at the time. Mm-hmm. And he called me back a few months after we shot Cutthroat Kitchen and asked if I was interested, and I gave it a shot, came to San Francisco, interviewed. Thought, what a crazy, crazy change of life. Here I am teaching people how to use SharePoint and advanced Excel and PowerPoint. And now I'm going to go all the way into sort of something that represents my passion. Coincidentally, the same month I accepted the position with Just, a restaurateur also contacted me and offered to partner with me to open my first restaurant. Which is now open, called Uncle's Hawaiian Grinds, modern Hawaiian food in Maryland.
Okay, so, I'm from Maryland. So where in Maryland is this?
So we are in Falston, in Harford County.
Okay.
Just south of Bel Air, in a town called Falston.
Oh my gosh, okay. Yes. Yeah, I went to Towson, so that's not very far.
Wow, not at all.
No, when you were talking about world. DC, I wanted to be like, oh my gosh, where in DC did you live?
I still live in DC. I live in Silver Spring.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. My grandparents lived in Silver Spring. I was born in Rockville.
Awesome.
There until I was
my God.
Yeah. Live there.
We're neighbors. We're like neighbors.
We really are neighbors. And I think actually I was still in Maryland when you were in DC. I moved to Vegas in 2005.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Small little world, isn't it?
Yes.
So you were on 3 television shows. Like,
yes.
How does your life, I mean, other than obviously, like, you know, you're getting these clients and you started this catering company, but how does life change for you as a human being on 3 television shows and then, you know, going over to Just? Like, what was your life like during those seasons of filming?
It was a bit surreal, right? I'm from a very small town. I grew up on a makeshift Hawaiian farm with such a big family, and with the living expenses in Hawaii is quite high. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't grow up with much, and while we had access to fresh fish and good fruits, we still ate a lot of processed foods. And then now fast forward, you know, into my adulthood, and I'm catapulted on this national stage trying to represent, you know, for myself, I feel like I'm representing the whole state of Hawaii, my culture, my people, my friends, my family. So it, it was daunting, but
yeah.
It was a risk that I really challenged myself to take. And absolutely my life changed after that. I was getting invitations to cater weddings in Japan and, wow. and in Hong Kong and in Ohio. And people were inviting me to go on their private boats to be their chef for a week in the Caribbean, you know? So just very, very random reaching out of the public.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so crazy that two nights ago, they re-aired two episodes that I were on of Guys Grocery Games. And then people reach out to me on Twitter and private message me on Instagram. And for the most part, I would say 90% of those interactions have all been so amazing. I mean, I've made a lot of friends. I mean, up and coming chefs, young people in culinary school, a grandmother reached out on behalf of her grandson who, you know, was enamored by the show. And he flew from Florida to Washington, D.C. to take a cooking class. And then his grandparents flew from Boston to meet him. I mean, it has been surreal, amazing, humbling, and absolutely crazy.
I can't imagine. So did you go on the boats in the Caribbean and cook?
I did. I did go on someone's private boat and cooked for a week. It was incredible. And you know, seafood is my thing. I grew up on an island, so.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's get to Just. So for listeners, Just, yes. It's really interesting to me about the Just egg because I've had it and I'm vegan and I was just blown away. So I didn't know that it was actually like crafted by Michelin starred chefs. And
yes.
That's wild to me. And it's made with mung beans. And that what I find really interesting and what I love so much about it is that it's cholesterol free. It's dairy free. There's no GMOs in it. And when people argue with me about, well, where do you get your protein? Like literally it's the same amount of protein as a chicken egg. So like for me, it's what I make for breakfast. Like it's become like my breakfast staple. So tell me a little bit about as Chef Ambassador, what is your role?
Yeah, sure. So my role has evolved. In the beginning, I was a part of the culinary concierge team, where we were specifically focusing on our food service clients and getting them to understand the importance of introducing more plant-based staple foods into people's diets in general. And now as the chef ambassador, I sort of lead a team of, I have another sort of culinary support chef and here in San Francisco, one chef in China, and then a contracted chef that also travels for us in North Carolina. And what it entails is, I mean, everything along the spectrum. As you know, when it comes to consumer goods, there's the food service channel and the retail channel.
Yeah.
So on the retail side, it might entail meeting up with a big retailers, whether it's Walmart or Whole Foods or Safeway Albertsons, talking to their buyers, doing a little cutting for them, where they get to try the Just Egg product in sort of different ways, whether it's a scrambled egg or an omelet, cooking it for them, talking about the benefits. How do I sell this to the customer? So as a chef ambassador, I'm traveling to these big conglomerate companies to talk about a little bit about our mission, but really about the food, how it can be prepared, how it can be sold, how it can be spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, it might be standing, you know, at a Just booth at the National Restaurant Association show or at Expo West and talking to customers and potential buyers as they come by and talking about the benefits of it, making up cool dishes and exploring recipes. So that's one aspect of the job. Once we have a buyer, let's say a cafe in the Midwest wants to roll out Just Egg, and they don't necessarily have the experience around a lot of plant-based foods.
Yeah.
So it might entail myself or somebody on my team heading to the restaurant, looking at their menu, mm-hmm. right? And then working with their chefs or cooks and coming up with some ideas. They know their customer base. We know the versatility in the product, putting our minds together and creating those synergies to then make amazing dishes for their customer base is another aspect of our responsibility.
So let's talk a little bit about all the things Just Egg can be used for, because I've had it so far as like an omelet, as a scramble. I've had a frittata with it. There's a restaurant in Vegas called Truth and Tonic, and it's the first plant-based restaurant on the Strip. And he uses it for frittata. But I think that's as far as it's gone with me. What other ways can people be using this product?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, those are the most obvious ways. And I love Truth and Tonic. It's in the Venetian. I was just there.
Were you really?
I was just there in January, and I got to hang out with the chef. I tried all of their dishes. They were amazing. And then I was just there with the leadership of that restaurant, who were telling me about how people were just falling in love with it. I wish that Truth and Tonic wasn't so tucked away. You know, it's a little bit of a maze to get to that place.
Oh my gosh, it's like a hike. You hit your 10,000 steps for the day before you even get to the...
Absolutely.
I love it. Because then you're going there and the food is so healthy. Like Chef, I always butcher it, Chef Gioni has just done such a good job with that menu. And I was with him before he launched it, and I tried the frittata and I was blown away. And then in January was the last time I was there too. And I brought another chef with me, Chef Leslie Durso, who consults with like Four Seasons. And I was like, I'm going to take you to this little restaurant. And I took her and she was blown away because of course we had to get the frittata.
Going outside of the box, you know, other than the quiches, the frittatas, the scrambles, and the omelets, I mean, think about the egg is such a ubiquitous ingredient, right? I mean, I've traveled around the world cooking just egg within different cultures, and aside from all of some of the baking applications and the sauce applications. So we have diners, and you know, Silver Diner, they're doing hollandaise.
It's still open.
They have revamped themselves to be a more farm to table. So in quarantine, they are assembling farmers market boxes and selling those. And they sell just eggs Benedict. The first, I would say it's the first, but one of the first restaurants to put a just egg Benedict on their menu. So they make hollandaise out of just egg, and then they make a scrambled egg hollandaise, I mean a scrambled eggs Benedict, you know, on a plant-based English muffin. Amazing, tasty. You would never know that hollandaise has no butter in it. You would never know. So if you ever come back to this area, Silver Diner Hollandaise. And then Equinox in DC, they're making zabaglione, like Italian custard. So they're adding sugar, they're adding Prosecco, and then serving it with berries, keeping it plant-based.
Wow.
But they're whipping it up, right? So I've made a bunch of different types of Italian custard, like substituting champagne, Prosecco, even one made with beer, which was amazing.
Oh my God.
One of my favorite recipes now that I've developed is a plant-based bread pudding. So I use some vegan bread, coconut milk, and just egg makes an amazing custard. And I love that. I put a little maple syrup to sweeten it up as to not to use too much white sugar, and then bake it up like a bread pudding. I do it in muffin pans so it kind of puffs up like a souffle. Amazing.
My eyes are like bulging out of my head right now. Like I'm just blown away.
Yeah. Yes. Another easy dessert is like sort of a take on a pot de creme, where I take dark chocolate, make sure that it's vegan, a little bit of coconut milk, just hot coconut milk, just egg, put it in your blender, blend it for a minute, add bourbon or Kahlua or whatever you want to it, cinnamon or rosemary if you want to go for like an herbaceous flavor profile, set it in the fridge for an hour, and you have this rich, decadent, amazing plant-based pudding dessert. Oh my gosh, it's mind-blowing. You would never know that it's plant-based.
Next time you come to Las Vegas, will you come over and teach me how to make these things, please?
We will make so much thing. We will make all of my favorite plant-based recipes. You know, I'm not vegan, but I completely am an advocate for introducing more ways to introduce plant-based eating into your daily diet so that it can become a part of your repertoire, you know?
Yeah.
People often think they have to go, you know, from one extreme to the other, and baby steps is the way to get there, you know?
You know, I always tell people, because I get asked all the time, well, how did you go vegan? And I went vegan, like, I worked in animal rights, and, you know, one day just clicked in my head, because I gave up meat years before I went vegan. And people ask me, and I'm just like, you know, you can't beat yourself up. If you can't go vegan in one day, do the best you can, because it will come. And you know, I'm a huge advocate of that, because I think if you're coming from a place of, like, lack, you're just, it's never going to work. But if you, like, give yourself permission to work your way to it, it eventually it happens. So, you know, I think baby steps is a good way. And you bring up an interesting point. Do you, you know, people talk to you obviously about going vegan and things and being plant-based. Have you noticed, like, in all of your travels and things, people wanting to incorporate more plant-based options into their breakfast and into their lives?
100%, Diana. I've been with Just for about 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. During that time, I've traveled to well over 30 countries.
Wow.
And honestly, I do think part of it is generationally driven. So the current generation of young adults, right? They're really demanding more transparency in a lot of things, right? In doing more recycling and taking care of the earth. But one of the, to me, they are really creating this movement and sort of a renaissance of demanding that companies, that restaurateurs, that chefs, supermarkets, the entire food industry be more transparent, to have more availability of not only vegan items and vegetarian items, but gluten-free items, things that are more organic with less preservatives. So around the world, there is some generationally driven, movement towards more plant-based options. And, you know, I'm not sure who coined the phrase, but that concept of flexitarianism, you know, a year ago, people didn't know that word. Nowadays, you know, I hear kids, mom, I'm going to be a flexitarian now. You know, I hear kids, you know, even wrapping their mind around, like, I'm going to give up that burger and I'm going to have something plant-based this week instead of that burger.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's amazing for your body. It's amazing for the industry. Of course, it's amazing for the animals.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree with you. Now more than ever is the time where I think plant-based eating is going to really gain more mainstream traction.
That makes me really happy to hear. In your travels, so you said you've been to, like, 30 countries. Do you pay attention when you're traveling to see what, like, the demand is in those countries, or what demands are being met in terms of plant-based? Like, are there any countries you've been to that are particularly like vegan friendly versus others, or some that were, like, kind of didn't get it until you talked to them?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. I think I hate to make some generalizations, but as a matter of just sort of summarizing, yeah. I did find a lot through Asia, right? Asia in general is very, very vegetable centric, right? Yeah. So the Japanese they've been using soy protein for literally hundreds of years, right? Tofu has been a part of their diet. Soybeans have been a part of their diet. So they're not a stranger to plant-based eating. It's just that the term is so American. That term is so much more Western, right?
Yeah.
There isn't a term plant-based eating necessarily native in a lot of Asian cultures.
Yeah.
But they've been practicing it for so long, right? It's just a part of society and a part of their, I mean, when you think about like very, very quintessential Japanese things like ramen and like bento boxes.
Yeah.
In those things, what people don't realize, vegetables are meant to be in those boxes.
Yeah.
Very, very strategically. They built meals around how those vegetables interact with rice and other proteins. So yeah. I find in general, in Asian cuisine,
yeah,
very, very vegetable centric. Then you go to the other side of the world, and I spent more, you know, a lot of time in Europe, and the plant-based culture is growing.
Yes.
I don't feel like it's seated in that historical, cultural sort of norm as it is in China and Japan and Korea, yeah. Right? I feel like it is nuanced. It's sort of new, just like it is in the rest of the Western world, like in America. But there were hot spots throughout Europe, particularly in parts of Germany and Sweden, that I saw people are craving more plant-based options.
Yeah. So if I'm traveling now, because I do vegan tours, which obviously are on hold right now, but I'm doing tours to Madrid and Paris. Are there places at either of those cities where I can find the Just product yet?
Right now, our Just products are not in Europe. However, that should change in the very near future. We have developed partnerships with one of the largest egg companies in all of Europe.
Wow.
And we've already done test runs to actually manufacture Just egg at their plant. They set up a space for Just egg, and they will be our partners not only for manufacturing but for distribution. They're located in Italy, in Bologna, and called Eurovo, big egg company. We released that to the press a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just had a press release of another partnership in the U.S. And then in Germany, we are partnering with a large chicken company who really has developed the mindset that they need to jump on the plant-based bandwagon and are partnering with more plant-based companies to be a distributor throughout Europe. So while I can't give you an exact date, I will say very, very soon,
okay,
we will have distribution throughout parts of Europe. And I'm very, very excited about that.
I mean, that's amazing. And it's really, really interesting to me that these companies are dairy and chicken companies. Do you think that that this having Just is going to help them maybe see the benefit of offering plant-based and perhaps lessen the production of the animal-based products? Like, is there any talk of them like hoping to maybe one day make the switch from animal-based to plant-based?
I think that's a huge jump right now. How they're seeing it. So a lot of to your comment, a lot of people are surprised, right, that we're partnering with an egg company,
yeah,
because especially in the U.S., egg companies may view Just as a competitor,
yeah,
not as a partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you think at the end of the day, these companies are really about making a profit.
Yeah.
And if they can have another product that's opening up their clientele base, because, you know, there's a percentage of the world, I think it's around 10% of the world is allergic to eggs.
Yeah.
On top of that, you have people who really just want other options to explore more plant-based eating. That's another demographic of people. Now, I don't know that these companies are saying, you know, this product's going to take place of all animal products.
Sure.
But I do see that it's a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about these companies who have been generationally run,
yeah,
for decades, if not centuries. And the fact that their minds have opened to there's this egg product made from the protein in a mung bean.
Yeah.
Let's get behind it in,
yeah,
Italy and distribute it, you know, around Europe, which is a step in the right direction.
It absolutely is. So when you first tried the Just egg, what did you think about it?
So, you know, I had the advantage of tasting iterations of Just egg right from the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was there for part, I have been there for the life cycle. And, you know, in the very, very beginning, some of the iterations didn't work and they were odd tasting or they smelled strange. But I'll tell you this, Diana, when I tried what became version one, the first version that we went to retail, and, you know, I was cooking that Just egg around the world for potential partners, investors, retailers, everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though I did it 1,000 times, it was still hard for me at times to not really, this is not eggs,
yeah,
you know, like this is an omelet, but this is not really eggs. So even myself, for someone who cooked it so many times, even I continue to be blown away. And when version two came out, I mean, I tasted the version one so many times that for me, it was night and day, and the functionality, it was creamier, making an omelet was easier. You know, I mean, I continue to be blown away. And I feel lucky. I mean, I get to sit there and give it to people who've never cooked it for people who have never had eggs in their lives.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible experience in itself.
What tends to be the reaction when you cook with this product to people that aren't plant-based and then they try it?
I would say it depends on whether you tell them it's going to be plant-based or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you just come at it, you just cook some just egg, give it to somebody, they taste it. You know, if they're a big egg eater, then they're going to be like, yeah, there's something a little different, but mm-hmm. the texture's right. Maybe there's some veggie, something in the, you know, in the mix or something. So when people don't know and are not looking to detect something different, it's almost 90% people don't realize that it's not egg, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I say I'm going to make you a plant-based egg, well, it changes the mindset of the consumer, right? Yeah. They're going to be looking for any nuance difference. And, you know, as a chef who, you know, I use eggs, you know, you use eggs in cooking and in baking a lot. You know, I do understand and appreciate the functionality of an egg. However, these omelets and these frittatas and scrambles, you know, they are so similar in texture to a regular egg that it is just simply amazing. And people are, the majority of people that I cook for are completely wowed by it.
I mean, that makes me really happy because obviously my goal is to have everybody in the world go plant-based. So the more options there are, the happier I am. Chef, thank you so much for your time today. I am so grateful for you. It's fascinating to talk to you. I really love hearing about all of this all over the world. What's next for you and Just?
Well, you know, we are navigating this quarantine time, and then we have found, with the help of many of our teams collaborating, we found ways to continue to reach out to our customer base through Instagram videos and outreach through different channels. So we're going to continue to do that. The great thing is that our retail Just Egg and our newest product, I'm not sure if you tried it yet, but if you haven't, I hope that you will soon. It is our folded Just Egg.
I want to try it so bad.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. We will get you some. I will make sure we get you some.
Oh, amazing.
You pop it in the toaster, pop it in the microwave, steam it, bake it. Oh. I mean, and throw it in a sandwich. And
oh my gosh.
And honestly, Diana, whether I'm biased or not, you will not, cannot discern the difference between that and a regular egg sandwich. It is that good. I mean, I stand behind that product 100%. It is amazing. I sneak and eat it when I have extra product. Don't tell that to anybody in your viewership. yes. So we are pushing forward with that new product. And we're just looking for to expand more in Europe and around the globe and continue to push the envelope when it comes to a healthy, sustainable protein and allowing it to be accessible to everyone. Everyone deserves to be able to eat well.
Thank you, Chef. Chef Kaimana Lee, thank you for your time. If you folks want more information on Just, you can go. Their Instagram is at eatjust. Their website is ju.st. And Chef, I heard a little rumor that you might be giving a recipe to me to put on Vegan's Baby. So,
absolutely.
That's going to be up on vegansbaby.com/recipes. As show notes are in vegansbaby.com. Chef, thank you so, so much for your time. I am so grateful. It was a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to meeting you in DC or Vegas, when we all start getting on airplanes again.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a pleasure. Thank you, Diana, and thank you to all your listeners.
Take care.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Fork. I am host Diana Edelman of Vegan's Baby. I appreciate you all so much For more on this episode and other show notes, head over to vegansbaby.com and click on the Good Fork podcast. And for more vegan dining, vegan news, and where to go eat in Vegas and beyond, head over to vegansbaby.com. Have a great one.